Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. And we're going to talk about fine-tuning the body, opening up energy pathways, wiggling around, getting your body speaking to you and working with you and you working with it. And there are a number of ways to do this. It's wonderful to be tuned in to your body and actually for your body to tune you in as well. It's a two-way street. Don't we love our bodies? And I hope you're all saying, yes, we do. Well, we'd even like to love them more. They do have their glitches, and they do get stuck in certain ways. And we got to keep working on them. We have to be responsible. And our bodies, there are so many people who ignore their bodies, who don't know their bodies, and don't know how sacred their bodies are. And so we're going to look at how to work with our bodies more sacredly. And to do that, I have a guest for the show who he and I go back probably 25, 30 years. And he still has a show on this, in this station. He has other shows called A Better World. It's both radio and TV. And he has a show on Progressive Radio Network called Progressive Film Hour. So he is definitely a voice and a speaker. And he empowers others through his shows. It's really wonderful, the guests he finds and what he brings out in people. But I'm here to bring stuff out in him. Because Mitchell works with people personally. He uses biofeedback. He's a very mind-body thinking guy. So he's here in the studio with me, smiling. That's nice. It always helps to smile, Mitchell.
Thank you, Peter. It's my nature.
Great. Well, it is. You are a very happy guy most of the time. I think you probably hide out when you're not, so we don't know that side of you.
Right. I don't want to inflict others with that.
Right. And we all have our downsides where we try to not hang out with people and mope. So we're not going to mope on this show. We're going to mop. Mop up our bodies. We're going to figure out how it all can get charged, opened, awakened. Awakened is a good word. Mitchell has been working with a new system that I found out about a couple months ago and was invited to some demonstrations, which I declined. Because how many body systems can you know and learn about? And it's endless. So you can't go to everything and find out. I mean, you have to follow spirit, or spirit guides you. And so Mitchell guided me. He's a spirited guy.
Thank you.
And offered me his own demonstration on me. And it's something called Higher Brain Living that Mitchell is now certified to work with. And it's very similar to other work. And we'll talk about that too, because I think it's good to see the broader scope of what's going on and how we can apply these very subtle techniques to help us get a lot better. So, Mitchell, what can you say? What's your background in higher brain living? Why is it something that you're interested in?
Well, first of all, Peter, as I don't think you let people know my last name. It's funny. People feel so familiar with me.
I never mentioned your last name?
You didn't.
Scott, and, right?
It's so interesting, though. It's a phenomenon because even people I haven't spoken with in a long time, if I call and I'm leaving a message, I'll say, "Hi, it's Mitchell." And they go, "Mitchell.
Mitchell Scott."
And they know who it is.
I know.
It's a funny phenomenon.
Mitchell, you're very well known.
There's some resonance.
Well,
I don't know what it is.
You've been on the air a lot.
I've been on the air.
So saying Mitchell should be it.
Should
know.
Be enough. Oh, it's Mitchell. Of course it's Mitchell. Right.
Like people say Bono or
yeah, right,
whatever.
Right. Cher.
Right, Cher.
But I, yeah. Anyway, to create a little bit of a background, Peter, I've been a practicing psychotherapist for, you know, since the early 80s. And that's when I also got trained in acupuncture. So I've been doing the mind-body dance and exploration. Now I can look back and say, my God, I was really one of the pioneers for, you know, Western civilization, you know, America. But back then, we were, my colleagues and friends and I were just exploring different modalities and kind of putting them together in some kind of experimental way. Now, mind-body is the rage, and you'd think that these folks invented it, but no, not so. There's a whole history long before us in the 80s, of course. George Grodek, Wilhelm Reich, and that's just, you know, for sort of Western thinking, and it goes Mabel Ellsworth's on. There's a whole wonderful, rich history of mind-body. So I come from that place of looking at the physiology of consciousness, of looking at the biology of thinking and of emotions. And having met actually Bruce Lipton in the early 90s when I interviewed him, a cellular biologist who wrote The Biology of Belief, he showed us graphically how cells are influenced by thinking and by belief and by emotions. So I've been very much, you could say, an outgrowth of that. When I learned about higher brain living, it was sort of a neuroscience approach to what using through the physical body to access the higher brain, you know, the prefrontal cortex into its depths. So I got turned on. It was really very much my language because I think in the domain of neuroscience and neurophysiology. So it was really a hand in glove for me to explore this and get the training for it.
Right. And so there is a great movement in many ways to open up that cortex that we need to
yes.
think better and wiser and connect in higher levels. And so this is an important step to our growth of society because most of society right now is not working with that prefrontal cortex. It's really working with the brain stem.
That's right.
Which is much, much more primitive. And that's why we see so much primitive response in the world that doesn't make sense because it's a survival response.
Right.
It's not an intelligent response.
It's actually not even a response, but I think would be better said to be a reaction. It's not it's mm-hmm. always reacting to circumstance and conditions. And it has one primary emotion, and that emotion is fear. So you end up looking around and seeing a world that's predicated on fear.
Right.
Look at our wars. Look at the torture and the trafficking and all of the nonsense that goes on is all predicated on the fear of not having enough or perhaps even deeper, not being enough.
And the power mongers are doing their best to
promulgate. Yeah. Exactly.
And so fear is the message nowadays on every level. I did a show not long ago on the prison system and how it's getting out of hand. Because there are so many TV shows that promote fear,
just what I was
news
thinking.
and also entertainment. So there's so many people want violence on TV
I don't think that's true, frankly. I think that the Hollywood big boys perpetuate the violence, and people react and
they're also reading the
and
audience,
absorb.
And there's a great. Interest in the audience for pulp. And so pulp creates fear.
Anyway,
and then,
the point really
and then
is
that creates the politicians to exploit that fear to get elected.
No question.
And then pass laws that make it much harder to live on this
planet.
Law
and order and, you know, strong on crime and all of that stuff.
Right.
But this is where the promise is that you were really implying before, what this means for society, because it means a lot. And that's something that very much perpetuates me and my life and why I have an organization called A Better World, the name of my media work and the way a lot of my other business and professional activities grow out of the values, the humanitarian and spiritual values of creating a better world. And that can happen through the development of the prefrontal cortex, because when you develop that, you're also creating a pathway to the heart, and in fact the heart chakra. And the work of the HeartMath Institute has really focused a lot on the intelligence of the heart and the coherence of the heart. These are very important concepts, the relationship between mental coherence of the two brain, the two hemispheres of the brain, and the heart coherence.
And the importance of the pineal gland, too.
Well, yeah, because then you've got the alignment of the chakras, which happens exactly. Mm-hmm. But what happens is that because the heart has some 30 to 40,000 neurons in it, it's actually thinking, and it's an autonomous brain. And if I actually look at the heart, Peter, as a function of the nervous system. So we end up having a heart that is working in synchronization with the brain and the nervous system. And then you get a whole-hearted and a whole-minded and a whole-bodied functioning system that is working coherently. Then interesting side effects, so-called side effects, the immune system gets boosted up. We are able to fight infection and disease. Our system is biologically attuned, which was a word you were using at the beginning of the show. Everything shifts gears, sort of like when you're on a bicycle or in a car. You're just at a higher level of inner operation.
And there are modalities that are employed. Eastern acupuncture is a wonderful modality to balance the body, create energy flow, open up pathways.
Exactly.
It's fantastic.
I was doing that in the early 80s.
Right.
And I was one of the first non-MDs licensed in New York State.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
Probably one of the first Jews, too.
and then there's, in the West, there's chiropractic by itself of aligning the spine.
Yes.
And the cerebral spinal fluid gets to flow better.
Yes.
And then there became more subtler modalities. And you're friendly with Donny Epstein and Network Chiropractic.
I've known him. I interviewed him way back. Yeah,
right.
Sure.
And two good friends of mine are Network Chiropractors in New York, Dave Mailer and Cliff Inkless. And they're wonderful because what they do, and they both worked on me, and I had wonderful responses where I'd be lying on the table and they just lightly touch you. And it's like just a flick of a finger touching your spine, and all of a sudden your body is writhing all over in comfort. Yeah. and it's amazing to see how our bodies, with the right impetus, know how to align themselves.
I call it the cosmic nudge.
Yeah, it's a nudge.
It's just this tiny little touch. Now, I don't do network, but Higher Brain Living is, in many ways, fair to say, an outgrowth. Actually, Dr. Michael Cotton was a network chiropractor, studied closely with Donnie, and then evolved his own methodology that he then linked. So it's not just a physical activity. It's linked with some of the integrative thinking of Ken Wilber's, so that...
Well, we'll talk about that. That's jumping ahead a little fast right now. We're just kind of understanding the basics of the nudge. And so the nudge, you know, because I also am familiar with Bowen technique. And Bowen technique is also a nudge.
Oh, Murray Bowen.
And I don't know Murray, but the Bowen technique...
You don't know Murray?
No, you know everybody, Mitchell.
No, Murray Bowen, Australian engineer, who happed upon the technique that became known as the Bowen technique.
Okay, see, yeah. You know everybody.
Well, I don't, but I know that.
I'm just bumping around. So, but I know, you know, I've seen the Bowen technique work, and it's another nudge to body parts that waken it up. And so between network chiropractic and Bowen technique, there are people out there who really are great at nudging, and all of a sudden the body comes alive. Mm-hmm. People are on the table and their bodies are talking to them in ways that they've never seen their bodies work before.
Yes.
And it's beautiful. So then comes along a guy, Michael Cotton, who is a network chiropractor, and he, you know, and he's also a businessman, and he sees a way to broaden the use of this, because he's training people to do this who are not chiropractors. And I don't know, you know, what the laws are in terms of how people are allowed to nudge the body without a license. But there are people who
have you ever heard of a nudge license?
Well, there are a lot of,
although a lot of people take the license to nudge.
Exactly.
That we could say.
Like, there are a lot of people who don't want you to breathe if you're not licensed. And so it's a different story. But so Michael Cotton has expanded, in a way, he's taken network chiropractic and brought it into a context that maybe encompasses more of life. As you said, with Ken Wilber's work, understanding that we have to live in wholeness, we have to pursue more than wiggling on the table after a nudge. We really do have to eat right, work out, be happy with others. There are a lot of ways that holism needs to work in our lives. We can't work singularly. So he has, you know, kind of found a package that brings in he created a package that brings in
that way.
These other aspects of living that Ken Wilber espouses, and it's correct living. I do my best to live that way in all aspects of
holistic thinking. We are in the king of holism, Gary Null. I mean, you know.
Yeah, well,
he's been teaching us that type of lifestyle for decades, you and me.
And we've been teaching him as well.
That's true, too.
Right. So it's really about
different aspects of the whole.
Sure. Yeah. I was on Gary's show every week in the 1970s, very, very active on his show.
Yes, I know.
Espousing a full lifestyle.
And so, this is our way. This is our community. This is our way. This is our interpretation, if you will, of reality, that we have to integrate all of these aspects, what we eat, what we drink, what we think, how we rest, the yin and the yang of it all. It's a very comprehensive, complementary, holistic model that our colleagues live by.
And I guess what Michael Cotton has created with the Higher Brain Living is awakening the body using techniques that he might have expanded on, I don't know, but certainly he learned about them through network chiropractic.
Well, I don't think that that's the best use of my being here to talk about how he derived it, but rather itself.
Right, that's what I mean.
Because I think that's what people would be
interested in.
But
I don't
want
to separate that from all the other nudges out there, because I think nudging is important.
I do too.
Right. So he has to, you know, realized that he can broaden the usage of this by teaching these nudging techniques to his students, as well as bring a lot of lifestyle understandings with it, because once you wake up the body, the body needs somewhere to go.
I'd rather frame this, if I may, Peter, as a biological function of biodiversity. And what human beings develop, create, cultivate, vary from other ways of thinking is actually a biological mandate of adaptation to a context and conditions. You follow?
All right.
So why we have as many beautiful flowers on the planet that we do, or the most incredible kinds of animals, is because nature, biology, is formulating the best methods to adapt to a context for survival and for propagation. So human creation, I see from that kind of psychobiological point of view, that we need people to be creative to help us all adapt. Craniosacral, for instance, I think is an incredibly powerful technique of moving, you know, and so we're thankful to Upledger, but that you could even say is a derivative in some way of chiropractic, of Palmer, 19th century chiropractic, because it has to do with moving the cerebrospinal fluid through the body.
Right.
And we're not even 100% sure that all of that isn't some derivative of acupuncture and ancient Chinese osteopathy, because that existed also.
Well, you can get caught up in trying to figure everything out. The best thing is to do what comes natural.
You keep going.
And follow a path where you feel more effective, more whole. Everybody's different.
Exactly.
What excites me isn't necessarily what excites you. It's that diversity. Like, there are so many different kinds of flowers in the world.
We have different typology, different human design. And,
exactly.
And so we will attract. People have different kinds of teachers. Some people love the work of higher brain living. Other people prefer something else. Other people love psychotherapy. I have people that love to come and talk and tell their story. And when they tell their story, I see a physiological release that happens because they know they're being loved.
For some
they're
people, just telling your story is the healing that they need.
Exactly. And so we're all doing right now is kind of identifying the fact that people gravitate toward different types of nudges. And, and that's a good thing.
Right. So it's nice to have a new opportunity here, a different nudge that you've embraced and have demonstrated to me. I had a very good time feeling my body wiggle around and my breathing changed.
You wiggled.
And my breathing changed.
Yes.
And you know, it's an opportunity for all of us to open channels wherever we can, however we can. It could be that you only need reflexology and you're golden.
Right.
Everybody's different. And maybe you just need to drink the right water or breathe the right breathing technique.
Right.
And
it happens to be true. And, you know, some people come to me for one session, not of higher brain living. That's a whole kind of 22 session package. Although even there, people vary that. And I feel that it's up to the person to really, I lay something out and they tell me what really works for them. I give them what I feel is the higher view of it, but they have to make their own way with it. It's really, I don't feel it's really up to me. And same thing with my counseling and stress management and biofeedback. Some people need lots of sessions, week after week after week, and other people, after a few sessions, they feel, you know, I got what I came for. Thank you.
Right.
And I utterly respect that with people, you know?
Yeah. And
you know the same thing from the healing work you've been doing for so long.
Well, we're all different and we all have different needs. I love to work with the human design system and show people the truth of their of their personalities.
Yeah.
And they love it.
Yeah.
And so and I love being an intuitive. It's just it's a world. It's so wonderful to feel multidimensional.
Sure. In light of just so people understand, if this is the first time they may be hearing about higher brain living, I would just like to let them know, your audience know, that it is this kind of gentle touch technique. There are points along the spine, but it's not just the spine. There's the sacral area, the occipital area, points on the around the knees and the ankle, and head and chest. There are a series of points that are done in sequence which seem to have this kind of palpable, no pun intended, effect in shifting consciousness and awakening it. And so, like I mentioned before and you touched upon, the work, I think a very important piece of what Michael Cotton has put together is the use of the integrative thinking and the four quadrants in particular that comes out of the work of Ken Wilber, where we can look at our lives and, you know, it has gotten simplified and reduced in the higher brain living context, but it's made practical so that people are invited to come up with, say, what they refer to as resolutions or goals to set for one's own inner experience, one's subjective nature, and then one's physical health, sort of a more objective measure. And then our cultural, our we-ness, our cultural context. And then the it, i.e., you know, the plural it in Ken's way, of our environment, of the institutions that we relate to, of our finances, of our the beauty of our home, sort of the feng shui of our lives, you could say.
Well, each moment of growth opens up a new pathway for the next moment. So it's very hard to have a plan from the very start and say, oh yeah, these are the ways I want to improve my life, because every time we feel a new channel opening within us, it creates a consciousness of what else we need that we hadn't thought of before.
True.
And ways to get our lives in order in a much more intelligent, aware, awakened way.
Well, you know, the old phrase, man plans and God laughs. So, you know, make a plan, but be ready to change.
Well, the opportunity is that you create a more whole body from this, that the body then speaks to you and says, this is what we're going to do next. And it says, we're going to change the way we eat. Maybe we'll drink some more fluids. Let's exercise some more. Let's smile a lot more. Let's hug a lot more.
Yep.
And the body then leads us because it itself is more whole from doing these nudges.
Yep. Yep. That's a whole other conversation, and that's a frame that you did that I also really appreciate. There are other ways of looking at whether the body is slave or master. And that's a whole different conversation. The work of Joe Dispenza has helped to really kind of clarify that conversation for me. I don't think we have time now.
It's about channels opening.
But yeah.
And I think the body is where there are a lot of locked channels to our mind. And so there's a lot of openings that free us to think in new ways.
Yes.
And so that's why body work is so important to
it really is
to free
it's
our
an
mind
integral
to think
way of working
more holistically
with the
for
mind.
Us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And I'm really big also, Peter, on touch opening up intelligences.
Yes,
of the body.
Exactly.
That, you know, just the beauty
the
of the physical nudge <Okay. laughs> and the touch.
Now, Mitchell, and your last name is again?
Well, in Israel, we say Harabin, but here in New York, we say Rabin.
Okay, Mitchell Rabin, R-A-B-I-N.
Aren't you funny?
At abetterworld.net.
And MitchellRabin.com, because that's the work I do, you know, as a therapist and higher brain living and stress management consultant.
Right. Mitchell, thanks so much for being on Energy Stew.
My pleasure again, Peter.
We
it's
always
great
have
being
fun,
with
don't
you.
We?
Totally.
And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at PRN.FM. I can be reached at Peter at Heart River, HEART River.org, or 212-222-7748. I'd love to hear from you, and thanks so much for listening.